Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 11. Psalm 119, 18.
Open thy eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy word. Psalm 119, 18.
Psalm 139, 2 and 3. You know when I sit and when I rise.
You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are with me all my ways.
Psalm 139, 2 and 3. Psalm 139, verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you knew it completely, O Lord. Psalm 139, 4. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, 10. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. Luke chapter 24, 44 and 45. What's amazing to me is that I make preparation for these services, and I usually type out the verse that we're going to be recognizing in each of the sessions. And I got here this morning, and in all my excitement and study throughout the past weeks in preparation for this day, I noticed that I did not have the scripture, Luke 24, 44, and 45. I want to tell you that I'm not the best artist in the world, writer in the world. If you cannot read this, that is Luke 24, 44, and then we'll see also verse 45. We're here today to study God's Word, as always, realizing the importance of being properly related to our Lord as we study His Word. The reason why I say that is because we cannot study properly if our hearts are not right in tune with the Lord. We spend these moments in silent prayer so that we can be sure that our hearts are in fellowship with our Savior. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we have the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and came to this earth as the God-man for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of the world. We bow today to express our thanks for the death, the burial, the resurrection of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. At this season of the year, we are reminded again of how great God is, and how great the love of Christ is for us in His willingness to sacrifice everything to make it possible for us to have everything. We're thankful for Your grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that one day will take us home. We thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that Jesus enjoyed His resurrection body, just as I believe that you and I will certainly enjoy our resurrection body. As I read the last chapter of the book of Luke, chapter 24, I conclude that Jesus Christ was a little tricky with His resurrection body. And the reason I say that is because I'm going to read to you today some scriptures that reveal that He was present in resurrection body, and then He vanished. And then He was gone for a little while, and He came back and appeared again in resurrection body. So I think He was having fun with that resurrection body, just as I believe that you and I will have fun in our resurrection body throughout eternity. Most of us are familiar with the verses that I'm going to begin reading, Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Because we've seen it many, many times when it says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Most of us now are familiar with the story that follows here in relationship to the two men on their way to Emmaus. So we will not read over those verses, but that begins with verse 13 and goes down through verse 27. But let's look at verse 28. And as they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther, they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." He went in to stay with them. Verse 30 of chapter 24 of Luke, what does it say? It came about that when he had reclined at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, breaking it, he began giving it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then notice, he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scripture to us?" They arose that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling these things, notice now, he himself stood in their midst. I'm seeing something unusual, are you? Jesus is a little tricky in that resurrection body. While they were telling these things, he himself stood, verse 36, in their midst. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Verse 41, and while they still could not believe it for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their sight. Now verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Perhaps you have not noticed, because we read it quite rapidly. After this unusual situation, Jesus said, "These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be able to see that Jesus now, in these moments, is saying to them, "These are my words, which I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and the repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. All of you are able to see that we presented you a magnificent story in relationship to the two men on the way to Emmaus. Even though we did not go into that, we emphasized the fact that they said, did not our hearts burn within us in relationship to the communication of the Word? And then the Lord Jesus Christ revealed some beautiful things in relationship to His resurrection body about eating, so forth and so on. And then you'll notice that He says, I want you to understand some things. When I look at this, it says, there are my words, these are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In our wonderful study through the Word of God, chapter by chapter, book by book, we come to now finding Jesus beautifully presented in the Psalms. I tried to conclude which is the best way to introduce our study of Psalms. And I realize that all of us enjoy inspiration, but sometimes we need some information. So information and inspiration can go together today if we'll listen very attentively and very carefully. We're going to begin with some facts, general concepts. Perhaps when we look at the book of Psalms, 150 different chapters, we can say perhaps the best love book of the Old Testament. Number two, this book has been described as the solid gold of the Christian experience. You can look very carefully at the way I've said this because I believe it's very important. Psalms has been described as the solid gold of the Christian experience. Number three, the Hebrew title is Praise, or the Book of Praises. Number four, it is a book of praise. It's a book of prayer. It's a book of worship. Number five, the Psalms have been described as the national hymn, Book of Israel. Number six, 150 poems set to music for worship, to praise and magnify the Lord. Notice that, if you will, please, 150 poems set to music for worship, to praise and magnify the Lord. Number seven, in Psalms, we see the life of the believer pictured in all of its experiences of joy and sorrow on the one hand, victory and failure on the other hand. Number eight, the Lord Jesus Christ captivates the thought pattern of the entire book, presenting the whole program of the life of Jesus Christ, His life, His suffering, death, and resurrection. What I want you to be able to see as we move our way through this magnificent book of Psalms, we're going to see the entire program of the life of Jesus Christ, emphasizing His suffering, His death, and the resurrection. Number nine, the Holy Spirit uses Dr. Luke in the verses that we read today in Luke chapter 24. But specifically, just one verse, and that's verse 44. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Psalms concerning me. If you've not noticed, I've said several times, and I want you to see it very clearly, that Jesus Christ in resurrection body is telling these individuals that the Holy Spirit is now directing Dr. Luke to say, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Psalms concerning me. Number 10, the prophetic office is found in Psalm 22, verse 22, when it says, I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee. That is the prophetic office of the Lord Jesus Christ found in Psalm 22, verse 22. Number 11, His priestly office is found in Psalm 40. In the next session today, we'll be looking at Psalm 40, 6 through 8, but also chapter 22, chapter 49, chapter 1, 10. The priestly office is found in the Psalms. The kingly office is found in the Psalms. in Psalm 2:21, also in chapter 45, also in chapter 72. The sufferings of Jesus Christ are found in Psalm 22 and in Psalm 69. We're not taking time for you to copy all of this, but I want you to see that we have an emphasis here on his kingly office in Psalm 2:21, 45, 72, and his sufferings in Psalm 22, 69. Number 14, by way of introduction, facts in relationship to the book of Psalms, the resurrection is presented to us very beautifully in Psalm 16. I don't know how much of this information you really want to hear, but I'm going to share it with you anyway because I feel like it's very important to get something of a background in relationship to the book of Psalms. Psalms, interesting facts. 73 of these Psalms were ascribed to David. 12 to Asaph, who's David's song leader. 11 to the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah is actually a musical family. 2 to Solomon, 72 and 127. 1 Psalm to Moses in Psalm 90. And 1 to Ethan in Psalm 89. I see that some of you are trying to take notes, so let me go a little bit slower here. You'll notice some facts in relationship to the book of Psalms. 73 of these Psalms are ascribed to David. 12 to Asaph, David's song leader. 11 to the sons of Korah. I got into a discussion in my own thinking in relationship to Korah, but I'll not do that here. 2 to Solomon, 72 and 127. 1 to Moses, Psalm 90. 1 to Ethan, Psalm 89. 50 of these Psalms are related to what is called anonymous Psalms. Author of some was David. Hebrew prepositions are used throughout this magnificent book. For instance, you have of and to and for. And oftentimes when you look at these prepositions, you will discover that they could be referring to the Psalm or Psalms, plural, of David. Meaning one who wrote or written for him or dedicated to him. That's the reason why it's unique to find these Hebrew prepositions of, to, for. Because they could refer to the Psalm of David, meaning one he wrote or written for him or dedicated to him. So you can see why we've picked out those prepositions for you to see. We speak of Psalms of David because he was the principal writer or compiler. Interesting enough, the Psalms are classified and arranged in 5 books. For instance, Psalms 1 through 41 is the first book. Psalm 42 to 72, the second book. 73 to 89, the third book. Psalm 190 to 106, the fourth book. And Psalm 107 to 150, the fifth book. I realize that I'm going rapidly, but I'm trying to give you a quick overview. If you take all of these that I've just mentioned and subdivide them, you'll have Psalms of Sons of Korah, 42 to 49, Psalms of Asaph, 73 to 83, Psalms of Mishdom in Psalms 56 and 60, and Songs of Decrees in Psalm 120 to 134. Perhaps you're aware of the fact and already know this, but you will realize that these Psalms have to do with many different subjects. For instance, many of these Psalms are emphasizing the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're classified as Messianic Psalms. Some of them are described as historical Psalms, penitential Psalms, imprecatory Psalms, acrostic Psalms, theocratic Psalms, hallel Psalms, hallelujah Psalms. Now, you don't have to copy all this down. I want you to realize when we get through this morning that you've had somewhat of an overview of this magnificent 150 Psalms. The longest Psalm, as many of you already know, is Psalm 119. Also, the shortest chapter is found. The shortest Psalm is 117, also the middle of the Bible. The middle verse in the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8. The Psalms were written to be sung. I found this quite interesting. The Psalms were written to be sung. Moses sang and taught the people to sing. We find that in Exodus 15, Deuteronomy 32. Israel sang along the journey to the promised land. This is found in Numbers 21, 17. Deborah and Barak sang praise to God. This is found in Judges chapter 5. David sang with all of his heart, the scripture says, in Psalm 104, 33. Hezekiah singers sang the words of David in 2 Chronicles 29, 28, and 30. It's also interesting to see that Nehemiah's singers sang very loud, as recorded in Nehemiah 12, 42. Jesus and the disciples sang at the Last Supper, Matthew 26, 30. All of us are familiar with this one. Paul and Silas sang in prison in Acts chapter 16. Most of us, and I've told this many times over the years, some years ago when I worked with little children, we would give this as a story in relationship to Paul and Silas. And I would describe them being placed in the jail and singing at midnight and how God opened up that jail and all these things. But Paul and Silas sang. And, of course, I know that they probably didn't sing this song, but I had them singing Amazing Grace. But that's okay. Paul and Silas sang in prison, Acts 16, 25. Notice also the heaven 10,000 times 10,000 angels sing. This is in heaven. And the whole redeemed creation joins in the chorus, as recorded in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. I'm going slowly now to tell you that in heaven, everyone will sing. Some of you are saying, I can't carry a tune, but you will be able to sing in heaven. Everyone in heaven sings, and they'll never tire of singing. Now today, we're going to be looking at verses of Scripture in Psalm 40, 6 through 8. And we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 5 through 7. What I want to do in these moments is not to tell you that's not where we're going right now. We're not going to go to Psalm 40. We're going to do that in the second session. We're not going to go to Hebrews 10, 5 through 7 in this session. We're going to go to those passages in the second session. Most unusual passages of Scripture. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, He said, in essence, God has given me a soma, a body. And that's exactly what happened. When deity 2 left heaven's glory, and we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, when deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, came to this earth and became the existent Christ, He said, as a tiny little baby, you have given me a body. When you go to Psalms, you will discover there that that same passage being quoted in Hebrews is presented to us in Psalms, but it is presented in a different fashion entirely. Because in that passage of Scripture, it says, you have pierced my ear. And so we're going to deal with that in the second session. Unusual verse of Scripture indeed. But in our Scripture here in Luke 24, before ascending to heaven, the risen Lord gave His disciples a final Bible lesson. He opened their minds, the Scripture says, so that they could understand the Scriptures. And He explained, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. There's where I want us to park for a little while. I want you to see that Jesus Christ now has come forth from the grave in resurrection body, and He, before His ascension to heaven, this risen Christ gave His disciples a final Bible lesson. And the scripture says he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. The reason why I'm parking on that for a little while, I want you to see, it's important that you and I be in fellowship with Jesus Christ as we study his word, because it is God the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for us as believers to comprehend spiritual truths. We have to be cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit in order to comprehend what God has for us. So, we are saying it here. Jesus says, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. The theme of the whole Bible then comes together around the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice, his sacrificial death on the cross, his victorious resurrection, his ongoing authority in the church. It is no surprise then that the New Testament tells about Jesus, but so does every section of the Old Testament, from the law, the first five books of the Bible, to the history recorded by inspired prophets, to the poetry and wisdom literature collected, known as the Psalms. Can you find reason to rejoice over this today? I'm telling you that we're beginning to see, as we plunge into the book of Psalms, 150 different Psalms. Christ is foreshadowed in the Psalms. What have we been doing for the last months? We've been emphasizing Jesus in every book of the Bible. Could we say that Jesus is found in the book of Psalms? Christ is foreshadowed in the Psalms. Let me give you some illustrations very quickly. Written centuries before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Psalms paint compelling pictures of the Messiah. What I'm going to do for the next few moments is to take you very quickly through a number of Psalms to let you see that written centuries before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem, these Psalms paint compelling pictures of our wonderful Messiah. Psalm 2, for instance, speaks about the Anointed One, the Son installed by God on His holy mountain, depicted for us over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 5. Psalm 22 foreshadows Jesus' suffering on the cross. For instance, when you get into Psalm 22, go down to verse 16, and it talks about pierced hands and feet. When you go down to verse 18 in Psalm 22, it speaks about the garments being gambled over. When you go down to another verse of Scripture, you will find in the first verse of chapter 22, Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you see, Psalm 22 presents Jesus in a fantastic way. I've said this many times, and I'm going to pause and say it again. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying for your sins and mine, various statements are made, and most of us have looked many times at those statements that Jesus made while dying for us. One of the things we discover that Jesus said was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see those dark hours when Jesus Christ suffered for your sins and for mine. Why didn't he say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why didn't he say, my God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm letting you think with me for a few moments. What did he say? My God, my God. My God, Father, my God, Holy Spirit, why hast thou forsaken me? When you go to the 23rd Psalm, it prepares us for Jesus' assertion when he said, I am the good shepherd, presented also in the New Testament in John chapter 10, verse 11. Psalm 45, verse 6. Psalm 110, verse 1. Picture the Messiah and his royalty enthroned at God's right hand. Jesus is telling us upon the moment of his resurrection that he ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. And the Father was satisfied with that work that Jesus Christ had done. And he said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What does that mean? It means that the Heavenly Father was satisfied. And the word that we use oftentimes is the word propitiation. What does the word propitiation mean? It means satisfied. So the Heavenly Father was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. And he said, sit there, not at my left hand, but sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We find in Hebrews 1:8, while in Psalm 118, verse 22, all of these remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be the stone that the builders rejected. So many verses in Psalms about the Lord Jesus Christ are declared with extreme reality in the New Testament. That's what's amazing to me. So many of these beautiful verses in Psalms you find illustrated and presented in the New Testament. So many verses in Psalms about the Lord Jesus Christ are declared with extreme reality in the New Testament. These beautiful writings, written 1,000 years before Christ, are clearly messianic in nature. The question that I have for you is, what do we mean when we say messianic? Messianic means the one who provides deliverance, salvation for mankind. This would include subjects such as the deity, sufferings, death, resurrection, the royal bride, eternal reign, the endlessness of the Messiah's throne. Do you see all these beautiful subjects? You'll see how we're going to be excited in seeing and sharing with you how the book of Psalms presents Jesus in such a fantastic way. There are many messianic passages in the Psalms, and then vividly presented in the 26 books of the New Testament. For instance, Psalm 22:16, they pierce my hands and feet. When you go to John chapter 20, 25, we read, unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails. Thomas responded, you remember, my Lord and my God. When you go to Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, we read, lo, I've come to do thy will, O God. But when you go to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, it says in chapter 10, verse 7, behold, I've come to do thy will, O God. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound like about the same thing? That's right. In Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, lo, I've come to do thy will, O God. But the writer of the book of Hebrews says, behold, I've come to do thy will, O God. When you go to Psalm 45, verse 6, it says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. But when you go to Hebrews 1, 8, we read, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Does that sound familiar? Does the New Testament sound anything like the Old Testament? Do we have a beautiful presentation of what is found in the Old Testament, beautifully magnified and revealed in the New Testament? Psalm 8:6, thou hast put all things under his feet. When you go to Hebrews 7 and 8, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor and hast appointed him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, I can see how amazed you folks are, but I'm telling you, this book of Psalms is outstanding. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've already given you that. Darkness fell from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Then, in Matthew 27, 46, we read, listen to it. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 69:21, Matthew 27:34-38, they gave him gall. Psalm 22:18, over in the New Testament, John 24, 19, 24, They parted his garments. They cast lots. When you go to Psalm 118, verse 22, find it revealed in Matthew 21. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Presented to us in Psalms. Presented to us in the New Testament in Matthew 21:42. In Psalm 110, also found in Matthew 22:44, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. I just emphasized that a few moments ago, letting you see that when Jesus Christ died, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended, the Father said, I'm satisfied with what you've done. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I'm glad I can tell you today that the book of Psalms beautifully presents the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that more vividly as we move into our second session today. May we now bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours to study this magnificent book, the book of Psalms. We realize that Jesus Christ is presented to us in every book of the Bible. We're thankful for the fact that everything that we do in life and everything we think in life should focus around this one individual, the one who's made it possible for us to have life, not only life, but life eternal. We're thankful that one day we shall leave this life, and because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior and His acceptance of us, we're going to be absent from the body, but we're going to be eternally with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that You made all of this possible. We realize that when God loved, He loved the world, and that when Christ loved, He was willing to give His life, He was willing to give everything, that we might have this gift of salvation. And so we're thankful today for the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the session, even the coming of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the fact that we trusted You and You have saved us by Your matchless grace. We realize that the Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a works, lest any one of us should boast. Any boasting that we would do has to be to brag and express our thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for that which He's done for us. For those who hear this message today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to understand that there's only one way of salvation. Jesus said it when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. We do not know who may hear these words, but out there somewhere, there may be someone who is in desperate need. They find themselves weary and worn and troubled and in difficulty, and they do not know which way to turn. Help them to turn in the right direction. Help them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith alone, in Christ alone, they can find what they desperately need. We thank You again and again. Forever blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord. Our God, we are the people of His pasture. of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Before the Lord, our Maker.